Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music today, and what a blessing it has already been just being in the house of the Lord. I trust that you've already been blessed. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you'd look with me to the book of 1 John, 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, we're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 10. Book of 1 John chapter 3, if you would stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither know him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this morning, it has been a blessing just being in the house of the Lord today. Thank you for what we've already received. But now, Father, as we have looked into your holy word and we've read this passage in 1 John, Lord God, I believe you have a message for us, each and every one, from this passage. And I pray that you would, Lord, help each one here to have an open heart and mind to receive it. Pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. As we read this 1 John, this book of 1 John, the Apostle John writes it to strengthen the believers. All those who have looked to Jesus Christ and trusted in him as their personal Lord and Savior. If we look back to chapter 1 in the beginning of this letter, this epistle, we find that John writes in verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." So John is writing to strengthen the believers' understanding, giving them the understanding that you can actually have fellowship with God. And as you have fellowship with God, you can have the joy of the Lord. Now, the message that I want to preach to you this morning is found in verse 8. When he says, "He that committeth sins of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning." But then right here it says, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Jesus came to destroy and continue to give us the victory over the works of the devil. Now, we're going to get back to that, but let's look at the text that we find this in. There's several things that we need to look at and understand before we actually delve into this idea of he was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. In verse 3, the Bible says, "And every man that hath this hope." Now, this hope is the hope of Jesus Christ, that through him we are made the children or the sons of God. As we have this hope, we purify ourselves, even as he is pure. We look to the example that Jesus Christ has set for us, and then we look to follow after his example, to live the life that is pleasing to God. Every true believer will have an inner desire to live right, because every true believer has the presence of God in them. You have the person of the Holy Spirit sealing you to that day of redemption. And as you have the Holy Spirit of God, presence of God in us, he will give you an inner desire to live right. Now listen to me, that's a good New Year's Eve resolution right there, amen? We're looking to this new year coming up in 2019. All of us could stand to be a little more like Christ. And I trust that's one of the things you should get from this message this morning, that I want to dedicate myself to being more Christ-like. In verse 4, he says this, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." A definition of sin, as we looked here, sin is the transgression of the law. In Webster's dictionary, he defines sin as to err or to miss the mark. Sin, I've heard this and written it down here, sin is anything in opposition to God's will. For the born-again believer, we can continue to sin when we miss the mark of being Christ-like. And we err from that very thing. It's also been said that sin is doing what one originally wants instead of what God says. It's anything in opposition to the will of God. 1 John has much to say about sin. In verse 5, the Bible says, "And you know that he, Jesus Christ, was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." He had no sin. That's why he could become sin for us, he who knew no sin. He was manifested. That word manifested is to reveal, to make clear or visible. Jesus came to make clear that there was a price, a wage placed on sin, and that was death. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he was manifested to take away our sin, to save us, but not only to save us, but also to sanctify us. Through his blood, he takes away the sin, and as we abide in him and the sins are continued to be taken away from us, then we will be sanctified to live according to his will for our lives. In verse 6, "Whoso abideth in him." And that's the key there, is understanding abideth in him. To stay focused on him. He in us and we in him. As we are focused on him and we are yielding to the Spirit of God that's living inside of us, we will not sin. Because as he's leading us to righteousness. He is leading us to follow after the example of Jesus Christ. So as we abide in Him, we stay focused on Him, we live a life pleasing to God. If we can continue to live a life of sin, the Bible says we do not know Him. Now, verse 7. Now, again, all this is leading up to that. Verse 7 says, little children, you are the children of God. Let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. So sin is connected to the influence of the devil. And righteousness is connected to the influence of God. And so whatever we do in life, we are either following an influence. This is a spiritual warfare. We are following an influence of Satan, if you will, of evil, that opens up the door to all kinds of sins. Or we are following the influence of Jesus Christ. And we are aware that He abides in us, and we want to abide in Him. And as we abide in Him, we are focused on Him and allowing Him to lead, guide, and direct us in a path of righteousness. That's our lives. The Bible says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. Satan was created by Jesus Christ as a son of God. There was nothing that was created that he did not create. So Satan is a created being, and he was created good, but at some point, and I don't think that we can fully comprehend it, one day we will, but he became an unholy spirit. Because angels were created to be ministering spirits. That's why God created them. Mankind, when we die, we do not turn into angels. Amen. God created us even more special than that. We were created in the likeness of God after Him. Humanity was God's beloved creation. The crown of creation, if you will. Everything else was created with man in mind. Hebrews in chapter 1. This is all an introductory. I trust that now the message is short, but the introductory might be a little long. But I think if you pay attention and grasp it, it'll help you this morning. Hebrews in chapter 1, because the Bible interprets Bible, as we studied that in Sunday school. And so as we look to understand that Satan was created good, but became an unholy spirit. The Bible says in Hebrews in chapter 1, verse 13, but to the which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Angels was not given that promise. That was given to Jesus Christ, who was God. And are they not all ministering spirits? Angels are real. There's no doubt about that. Matter of fact, we're going to go into a series on Sunday nights on angelology, and I think it's going to be helpful to us to understand created angels, and then it will help us understand fallen angels, which all angels, the Bible says, and they live in a different dimension. You can't see them, but they're there. And are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? God had a purpose for creating angels, as angels were created to be ministering spirits. And then it says in our text, going back there, that Jesus, our message here this morning, for the devil sent us from the beginning, he was created good, but then as he yielded to sin, he went opposite God's will for his creation. He was the one who brought in sin. He was the first one to commit sin. That's what that, and he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, knowing that Satan is out to influence humanity, and he has works. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's a powerful statement right there. That helps us to understand that Satan has works that affect humanity. Luke in chapter 10. This is still laying the foundation, so get the foundation. Luke in chapter 10, verse 17. Jesus came. He called his disciples. Told them to follow him. He'll make them fishers of men. Establishing the work for the believers in this New Testament church age. And here we find in chapter 10 and verse 17, and the 70 returned again that he had sent out to witness. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. That means that Satan and his influence and his demons were out to hinder the work of Christ. But they realized that in Christ, the devils were subject unto them. And he said unto them, behold, Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I beheld. I want you to know where it came from, these evil spirits, these demonic spirits, which battle the will of God. He said, I beheld Satan as a lightning fall from heaven. Now, is heaven in the atmosphere above the stars? No, that's space. The Bible tells us that there is a third atmosphere. Paul was called up to the third atmosphere, which would be the abode of God. There's the atmosphere of heaven, of earth. It's the air we breathe. It's the realm of humanity, the things we can see. There is an atmosphere of space, which is different. But there is a different dimension. There is the atmosphere of heaven, which is going to be far greater than the atmosphere that we're in right now. Yeah. It's the abode of God. And Jesus said, I seen him fall from the abode of God. He was cast out of the dimension of heaven. And he was cast onto this world. Satan left heaven's dimension and he was placed in this human kingdom. He was cast down to this earth, which now is his domain. The earth and the atmosphere of earth is where Satan abides. And he walketh to and fro, seeking to whom he may devour. Wow. So as Jesus said, you're dealing with him, and his angels and demons are subject unto him. I want you to know a little bit more about this. I saw him. I want you to know that he came from a dimension of heaven, as lightning fall from heaven. And then he says, behold, I give unto you. And he gives unto them a certain power that he was manifested to bring to believers. Amen. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy that we are facing today is Satan himself. And nothing shall by any means hurt you as long as you abide in me, basically. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits, Satan is a spirit, angels are spirits, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So we find here in 1 John, that Jesus is, first of all, he was manifested to take away our sins. And as he takes away our sins, then we are been given everlasting life. We have become the children of God. And as children of God, we have a ministry of representing Christ. And as we have a ministry of representing Christ, we have an enemy that wants us to continue to live a life of sin instead of a life of righteousness. Satan's works affect all humanity. So now, understanding this, trust that you are ready for the message. For this purpose, we just celebrated the birth of Christ. Did you realize that there was a purpose that God had? First of all, for him to take away our sins, for him to be that sacrificial lamb. But there's another purpose. Verse 8. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. Not only does he give us salvation because he became a sacrificial lamb, but he also gives us the abilities, the defense to destroy the works of the devil. That means the devil's here. Just because you can't see him, you can see the results of his presence. Look at the world today. It's becoming more and more anti-Christ than ever before. Not anti-religion, anti the teachings of Christ. America is becoming more and more anti-Christ. But Jesus was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. See, through Satan's works, he was able to get man to sin against God. The first work that he did, the main work that he did on planet Earth, is found in Genesis in chapter 3 and verse 6. We'll not have to turn there for sake of time. But in the garden where God created and prepared for Adam and Eve and gave them a command of what they should not do, because if they did that, ye shall surely die. If they went opposite God's will in partaking of the forbidden fruit, God says then, as a just God, you have to pay the price and you will die. So Satan met with them in the Garden of Eden. And through his works, he got both Adam and Eve to take of the forbidden fruit, to do that which God said not to do. That was his greatest work. The book of Romans in chapter 5, let me just read this to you. Romans in chapter 5 and verse 12, it tells us how it impacts us today, because it impacted humanity until Christ comes to receive humanity, until Christ comes to rapture his church. In Romans in chapter 5 and verse 12, the Bible says this about what Satan was able to accomplish. Wherefore, as by one man sin, getting back to this idea of sin, sin entered into the world. Now, Satan was the beginning. He brought in sin, the existence of sin, as he rebelled against God and all that took place, and God cast him out of heaven. Now, his presence is here, and he was able to test mankind, and he was able to get man to turn away from God and do that which God told him not to do. And because of that sin, sin has passed upon all men. Can I tell you that every one of us here today are sinners? You're either a lost sinner or you're a saved sinner, but you're still a sinner. That was the works of the devil. The works of the devil, the Bible says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, because God had already told them, if you sin, you shall surely die. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So Satan's goal is to get man to live a life of sin, to die, and cause God to have to cast him into eternal hell. That's the wages of sin, eternal damnation. He accomplished that in his most important work. Yeah. But Jesus was manifested to destroy that work. Hebrews in chapter 2. Hebrews in chapter 2. Stay awake. Stay with me here. Amen. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death, talking about Jesus Christ, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So our whole lifetime, because we have a sin nature, we are subject to bondage. We are subject to live a life of sin, which is exactly what Satan is wanting to do, the spiritual battle that we are facing and fighting today. But Jesus was manifested, first of all, to take away our sins, and then to give us a victory over Satan, to be able to live a life of righteousness. But can I tell you what all of heaven is looking at and all of hell is looking at is the lives of humanity. That's what's key today. All of the spiritual warfare, all that's taking place, all of heaven, they rejoice over one sinner that repents. You know that? There's rejoicing in the midst of angels today, because all of heaven is looking and all of hell is looking to see how humanity will live their lives. And we all have a free will. There's the influence, but we choose. So Satan even though defeated by Jesus Christ, continues his work today to keep those that have not been saved from ever being saved, and to render those that have been saved useless for the cause of Christ. He has many devices or weapons of spiritual warfare to use against us. Jesus has made us aware of that. And the Bible, in 2 Corinthians in chapter 2 and verse 11, the Bible says this: lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. If you look to Christ and to his word, he reveals to us what Satan will use against us. He has many devices or weapons of warfare. In Christ, we've been made aware of them. In Christ, we have his word, and in his word, we have been aware of how Satan is going to try to get us to sin. In 2 Corinthians, in chapter 11, verse 13, the Bible says this: for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. He's going to work through religion today. He's going to work through even so-called religious Christianity, which is not genuine Christianity. For such are false apostles and deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And you can see, if they're working toward the righteousness of Jesus Christ or after the influence of Satan himself. Satan works through lies, through deceptions, through fear, through traps or snares, through temptations, and even through strife. And the only way that we overcome them is through the influence and the defense that Jesus Christ gives us. The United States military, I think, is one of the strongest, is the most powerful on the planet Earth. In any kind of physical warfare, they have developed defenses against it. They have anti-tank missiles. Tanks coming against them, they have missiles to destroy them. They have anti-missile defense. If they're trying to destroy America by sending missiles over, whatever, we have an anti-defense, and when they see the missiles coming, then we can use the anti-defense to destroy the missile before it ever destroys us. Can I tell you that Jesus has given us anti-defense against Satan's devices? He's given us a defense against lies and deception. That's basically truth and honesty. Yeah. He's given us a defense against fear, and that is just trust. Because faith and trust will help you to overcome fears. Whatever it is that Satan is working against us to keep us living a life of sin, Jesus Christ has given us an anti-defense, a help for us. If you know about it, if you turn to him, you can turn away from that, and you can live a life that is pleasing to God, a life of righteousness. Yeah. 2 Corinthians in chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So with all that said, as we bring this to a conclusion this morning, Satan and sin are to be resisted. And I can't do it on my own. For this purpose, God knew that Satan was going to be on this planet Earth tempting and looking to destroy that which Christ established. Because he would have us to turn away from a life of righteousness, and he would have humanity to live a life of sin. We find here that we have this help for this purpose. The Son of God was manifested. What do we have to do? We have to abide in him. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. If you're being defeated by sin, it's because you're not abiding in Christ. You're letting Satan influence you somewhere, some way. And if you truly want to live the Christian life as God wants us to live it, we can. For it was this purpose that Jesus was manifested. What we have to do is look to the Word of God and identify sin. And once I have identified sin, I turn away from it. Because I am in Christ, I turn away from lies. I turn away from deceit. I turn away from immorality. I turn away from alcohol and drugs. I turn away from a carnal lifestyle. Verse 10, he says, in this the children of God are manifested. We are made clear that we are the children of God. In this the children of God are manifested, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. As a believer, I must choose to commit to a life of righteousness. I don't know what kind of life we've lived in 2018. Can I tell you that starting with me, this pastor, all of us can do better. None of us have attained. And my failure to follow Christ and allow sin in my life has been a victory for the devil himself. And I don't want to give Satan any more victory. Because of that, I want to commit my life and my actions to live a life pleasing to God. Because for this purpose, it's what God wants for you. It's what God wants for me. For this purpose, he was manifested. To destroy, to do away with Satan's attempts to get me to live a life of sin. And as I stay focused on him, abiding in him, I can live a life of righteousness. Wow. But it comes back to this, my choice. I see it. I understand because of the Word of God what it's presented. We are fighting a spiritual warfare. Whether you understand it or not, there is a spiritual warfare taking place. And we are either going to give in to the influence of the devil and live a life of sin, or we're going to give in to the influence of God and we're going to live a life of righteousness. And I choose today to live a life of righteousness. What's your choice? What's your choice? If I give every head bowed. Every eye closed this morning. We have a choice. But for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested so that we could get the victory and we could live a life pleasing to God. It begins with salvation. Are you there? Can you go back to a point in time in your life when you realized you were a sinner, lost, and on your way to a devil's hell, and somebody pointed you to Jesus Christ, and you, of your own free will, called upon Him to be your Savior? That was the beginning of living a Christian life. If you've never been there, it's impossible for you to live a Christian life. You don't have the help of Christ. You don't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You need to get saved. And once you are saved, there will be an inner desire for righteousness. If you don't have that, you're not saved. That's basically what John was presenting. But if you have it, if you're saved, you can live a life pleasing to God. Choose Christ. Father, we bow before You. We love You. Thank You for the truth in this passage of Scripture. And Lord, as we have presented, I trust, God, that You would take it now and make application wherever it needs to be made. And if there's those here today that are lost, that they'd get saved today. If those Christians here that Satan is blinding and defeating through all of his weapons of war, I pray, God, that You would help them to see that we have the solution. We have the anti-defense that Christ has given to us to overcome all of Satan's devices. Help us, Lord, to look to You. Bless now in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.